Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. I'm looking right now to see, what did Kyle Tucker do yesterday? Kyle Tucker for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He didn't play. Oh, yes, he did. He had a pinch hit, and he walked. Wins above replacement. The Astros replaced Kyle Tucker with Hayden Wesneski. 3 runs over 7 innings. Cam Smith, 3 for 4, including 2 outs. And in the 9th inning, and gets the hit to tie the game. And homers in that game. And then Isak Paredes, who was 2 for 4, with a double that scored 2 in the 10th. Wins above replacement. Astros win. They replaced Kyle Tucker with those three, and the Astros won that game.
Are you saying Dana deserves, are you giving him an extension?
Wow. That was you went a long way there.
Did you? That's his big trade.
That is his big trade. And you know what? It worked last night, that's for sure.
Atta boy.
It sure did. Worked last night to a charm. It actually has been a good trade. He did not very much with the Cubs, and he's actually been poor most of the season with the Dodgers.
Well, 3 weeks ago, it was not a good trade. In other words, Kyle Tucker, it didn't matter. You weren't keeping Kyle Tucker. So what Kyle Tucker does is irrelevant. Well, Everyone makes that mistake of, what's Kyle Tucker doing? It doesn't matter. You weren't going to keep him. The question is, how much did you get for Kyle Tucker?
And you got, Tucker wasn't well, Isak Paredes has been a plus.
Isak's been a plus. As of 3 weeks ago, Wesneski was a nothing, and Cam Smith was, had a flash here or there. Over the last three weeks, Cam has really, he's really had moments. Like, his hits have come in moments where it's been very vital or crucial for Astro wins.
Here's the thing, though. You got Cam Smith in the second year of 6 years player control.
Right, and he's showing he has true power.
Yes.
I mean, showing he has true power, which I think everyone knew based on his minor league stint, which, well, there was no minor league stint, but based on his background, everyone knew he had power. He has good size. You know what? Oh, I do have to say this just as an – I forgot to mention it. Eric Layden told me Friday when he was at the game, Cam, did you notice this on TV? I didn't even think about it, but he was like – loafing badly on a couple of plays out in the outfield. He goes, is Cam Smith hurt? I said, I don't think so. He's playing. He said he wasn't running. He let Tatis go first to third without even running to the ball. A ball got hit into the corner. He said he was like, I said, no, I don't think there's any injuries. He said, because later in the game, he was sprinting going first to third in the game. He said, does he just loaf in the outfield on a regular basis? I said, not that I know of. And he said it happened twice at the game. He said he was flipping out in the middle of the game. Hmm. I don't know if anyone else saw that, but he said, go to the highlights and go look. And he told me where to go look. And it wasn't hustle, but in general, he's played a very good right field. I mean, yeah, I've had no complaints about outfield. The defense. And what I'm happy about is that he's hitting with power. Because you're going to have power. I mean, there's just no way around it. He's got to become a plus player for you. Paredes is going to be a short-term player in that trade. Wesneski is the headliner's Cam Smith. And as you mentioned, second year, Cam's showing flashes of the power that he needs to have. Yeah, you'd like the batting average to be higher or whatever. But to me, I don't really look at the full season. I look at it like, especially for a young player, there's 4 different seasons, maybe break the seasons up by 40 game stretches, and then see how, because you're going to have improvements, just like Kyle Tucker did. Kyle Tucker stunk when he came up. You're going to have improvements along the way. So yeah. Maybe we take a look at Cam's last 40 games or last 60 games, and maybe that's the best indication of what we're going to see in the future. And it's been pretty good. I mean, the home run totals are, he's got a chance, he's got a shot to get to 20. He's got a shot to get to 20 home runs.
Yeah.
He had another one yesterday.
Uh-huh. He's hitting the ball.
What's he up to, 15, I think, home runs now?
I don't know what his number is, but they come in bunches. And if I'm not mistaken, they come on the road. He is a better road hitter than home. And so I'm gonna look.
Well, you rescued that game. They were the Astros for, oh, and it
two
was
outs
late
in the ninth, and they're down, and Cam Smith comes through.
I mean, a lot of you didn't see this, but the top of the ninth. Cam Smith stepped up, had a base hit that scored a run, and then Astros got to extra innings and ended up winning in the 10th. Paredes had a double in the 10th. Jeremy Pena had a go-ahead single with none out, and then Paredes doubled, added to the total, piled on a little bit, and the Giants couldn't come back. So Astros pull it out in the 9th. Pull it out in the 9th to extend it. They pull it out in the 10th.
780 OPS on the road, 607 OPS at home.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason.
I'm sorry, he's up to 16 home runs. He's got a shot at 20.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely got a shot
he's
at 20.
He's got a shot at 20.
He's got over a month and a half left. Mm-hmm. Four homers? Yes. Absolutely. As long as they play on the road. He, for whatever reason, is a much better hitter on the road.
What were the numbers again?
Short porch, 780 versus 607.
Mm.
Big difference. I mean, nearly 200 points. Well, 170-something. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's a big difference. He's got all his power on the road. He's got 12 homers on the road, 4 at home, 31 RBIs, 13 at home. Yeah, I mean, it just is. He's got more walks at home for whatever reason. But, all of his numbers are on the road. He just enjoys that more for whatever reason. And so you just keep on playing him on the road. That's all. He did take a break. They did give him a break at home, and like a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. where they just said, you know what, Cam, you need a rest.
Yeah, but also play him at home, too. You
say
keep playing him on the road, but I also want you to play him at home.
You do want him to play at home?
Yeah, I'm not going to just.
Not if he just sucks. He's hitting 197 at home versus 252 on the road.
You only want him to be a half. Just a half year.
Well, player. I don't understand it, but they did give him a rest. One of the series, not last series, I think, but the series before, they just said, you come sit here and just, you know, think about what you're doing. Just think about what you're doing.
You got put in timeout?
They put him in timeout. Yeah. Yeah. And think about what you're doing, young man, with your life.
Mm.
And we'll go from there. Astros win, so that's nice. They stay in first place. They started the.
That's a big one. That would have been three losses in a row.
Yeah.
Would have been all of a sudden you're canceling out all the goodwill and you're a 500 team then had you lost that. And, you know, you would have been on the road. Now you just need one more and you end up scraping that six game set on the road with a 500 mark, which is fine with me. If you can do that, just take one more.
The Rangers won, so you're a half game up. The Mariners are just a terrible team. They're just bad. 56-63. And they're just not a good team. Right now the Astros run differential -25. Seattle's run differential -19, and yet they're 7 games under 500. They're 4.5 games behind the Astros.
Yeah, but they were in the green for most of the year. It's only been since they've really gone in a tank where they dropped below. They must have had some huge – I mean, the only way – it's not like they've had a good record. They must have had a bunch of 12 ones, 15 to 2, you know, that type stuff. Because I don't know how they had the run differential they did. It wasn't great, but they were in the green, the Mariners, and they were the only team in the AL West who was in the green on run differential – for a chunk of the year, but it's not like they had a good record. So they must have had some massive blowouts in their favor.
Nobody in the West. It's the only division that doesn't have a team with a positive run differential. But your Astros are still a half game up, in large part because of Cam Smith.
Cam Smith
and what he did last night. Homered, had the base hit in the ninth with two outs to tie the game. And then Isak Paredes. Nice job. Hayden Wesneski is your Jerry Hunsinger. He doesn't have a W in the middle of his name.
Wisniewski. What do you mean?
You always call him Wisniewski.
I do?
Yeah.
I don't even remember talking about him much.
You just did a second ago.
I thought I said Wisniewski.
No, you probably said Wisniewski. He didn't matter a couple of weeks ago. He is, but that was a nice start. I thought when he gave up the homer to Drew Gilbert, I was like, why? He just pitched six innings, gave up two runs.
Not Drew Gilbert.
Why did you? Yeah, Drew Gilbert. Drew Gilbert. Why did you bring him back for the seventh inning? Hayden could have just left the game and felt good about himself. Instead, he's losing now, but the Astros were able to get that run back in the ninth inning, and then they were able to win it in the tenth. That was big. That was a nice win. Nice win on the road after, because they're not playing great baseball these last couple of series. So to take that one, to steal that one when they were just an out away from losing that game is good. That's big. That's nice.
In his last 20 games, Cam Smith is, in his last 20, is hitting 805 from an OPS standpoint. He's hitting 250 with 805 OPS. He's only got three home runs. I felt like it was higher than that, but he's got three home runs in his last 20. Eight RBIs. He's behind RBI producers like Yordan at 15, Jeremy Pena at 15. Jeremy's also got seven home runs in his
Jeremy
last 20.
Jeremy Pena was 0 for 24. 0 for 24.
Right.
And look at his numbers in the last 20. They're still good.
Yeah.
He just got a hit last night to drive in the run in the 10th. It was first hit in 25 at-bats.
What? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and he's hitting 309 over the last 20.
Yeah, and he's still hitting bats because how hot he was before that.
Actually, I'm not sure these stats are updated.
Maybe not.
These stats
yesterday.
May not be updated because I think Cam Smith has four home runs during this time. But, over the last 20, I've got a site that does over the last 20 games, and Brian Abreu, 11 innings pitched, no runs, three hits.
He's been great.
Obviously, he's been terrific. Josh Hader, 9 2/3, four hits, 0.93 ERA. Okert, a 1.85 ERA over his last 9 2/3. He has given up 11 hits during that time frame. But, you know, Tetsuya Imai, 9 2/3, he's given up five hits. Three runs. I mean, it's
that was his relief.
AJ Blue Ball was a 9.2 with a 2.92 ERA over the last 20. Like, you know, the pitching has been, they have a 3.65 ERA as a team over the last 20.
That's good.
Games. That's really good.
That's really good
for where they were. Oh. Really good. So it's it's been a combination of timely hitting. We know they've left a lot on base recently, and and their hitting does come in bunches. But the big difference has been they have been able to pull some of these wins out over the last three innings. They've won some extra inning games here recently over the last couple of months. And the pitching has leveled off some, and that's been good. Has it been great? No, but it hasn't been terrible. The pitching hasn't been terrible, and the bullpen has been actually good. The bullpen's been good. It used to be when the bullpen came in, if you had four pitchers come in and have to throw from the bullpen, which would happen frequently because your starters weren't going deep, three of those pitchers were going to give up runs. Three of them. Yeah. That's how bad it was on a regular basis. Either two of three or three of four were going to give up runs. And actually, they're holding things down for you right now. The bullpen's actually doing a really good job for the most part.
Yep. All right. Let's talk. There's a lot of stuff to talk about with the Texans that we'll get to on the other side. We're heading back to the Golden Nugget. We wanted you to join us for our fantasy football draft experience this year. In the 7 a.m. hour on Thursday, just 2 days away, we're going to give away a spot for you and a friend to be in the league with us. The winner will get a two-night stay at Golden Nugget the 27th and 28th of August, $200 in food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during the fantasy draft. Tune in Thursday for your chance to win. We want you to be there with us in our fantasy draft. Also, we found out that Ninfa's and Ducky McSweeney's are going to be doling food out at our listener appreciation party. We know those two for sure. So, and probably more. We had a lot of great food there last year, and we'll have a lot more this year. So keep on listening for your chance to get into the listener appreciation party. We got to give away tickets in this show And we will continue to give away tickets every day. Good Texans stuff to get to on the other side. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is... So, Dove Kleiman, and I don't know why I'm following Dove Kleiman, but he put out a video, and he says, yikes. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud has gone viral for throwing, quote-unquote, behind Tank Dell at practice on a simple 15-yard throw. It's clear Stroud has lost nearly all his confidence. And then he's got the emojis with the teeth, like,
I know. I know.
It's a throw where there's no defenders. There's just one receiver. Uh-huh. He's at the back of the end zone, and he kind of throws it on his back shoulder. And it has 112,000 views. Is that, first of all, is 112,000 views going viral?
No.
Secondly, what?
I mean, it's a decent amount, but he has to be joking.
He has to be joking.
No, he's not. He's just an aggregator. And luckily, Twitter, starting in September, Twitter has eliminated those scumbags like him and JP Football and ML Football or JPA or whatever. Those aggregators who take other people's videos and content and then recycle them and put their own, you know, their own words up there, you know, somebody else's work. You no longer can make my. Apparently, you can monetize Twitter. I mean, I don't even know, but these guys with certain amount of views monetize Twitter. So what they do is they take other people's videos from camp or what, and they get all the. I can't believe how many people follow them, and they take other people's videos. Right? They don't. There's nothing original. From now on, to get paid, you have to create your own original content. So these losers are done, first of all. So Dove Kleiman, he's done monetizing, unless he just starts doing advertisements flat out. But no, this is
he's just joking, picking up.
That's just taking advantage of a topic like C.J. Stroud and using that to create, you know, to work off that narrative to create some content and some engagement farming. That's what that is.
Okay, so let's Mina Kimes, Dell. Can you get Mina Kimes ready? Everybody is the season hinges on C.J. Stroud. I had a dream last night that C.J. got hurt and now we're even. If C.J. does get hurt this season, they're in even bigger limbo. What the hell to do with him? Right, I mean, it can't. That would be the worst case scenario. Please don't get hurt, CJ. We want to see. First of all, we want you to play because you're the best quarterback. Secondly, we want to see whether or not you know you're going to be a long term answer here that and get that big money. Because I hope you get your bag. Because I'm supposed to hope he gets paid.
Yeah, we that's what we all are supposed to hope. We have to hope.
Yeah, I gotta hope
people
that
who don't know us. Or don't care about us.
Right.
Get as much as they can get.
I need CJ to get the bag.
Yes!
CJ got the bag.
Or same thing with owners. Yes, they get a new suite. They got new suites that they can sell. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care. They're not going to let me hold any money.
But here's Mina Kimes and your boy.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's your best friend. You love this guy. Mina Kimes does stuff with
Trevor Moore.
Ben Solak.
Affleck?
Yeah, Affleck. Ben Affleck. Anyway, here they are, and here's Mina Kimes defending CJ last year.
It's not Ben Solak, Dell said.
No. Who is it?
Yeah. It looks good, dude. We're
Well, that's not that either. So that's
very difficult playoff performance for CJ Stroud. Statistically one of the worst of all time. And it's a shame because when you actually go back and take a look at his stats, and we'll get to the film in a second, over the course of a season, he was actually quite good. He wasn't his rookie year level, but he was 11th in QBR. He was, when you splice it up, top 10 to 15 in pretty much every meaningful quarterback stat He was good on third down. He was good under pressure. He improved on some things over last year that I think are worth noting. His time to throw came down a little bit. He took way fewer sacks. That's relevant because I don't think the offensive line did him any favors. And Brett, that was kind of my number one takeaway going back and watching the regular, forget the postseason, which we can talk, we should talk about that. But watching the regular season, what struck me was how hamstrung the entire operation was by the fact that the offensive line was so bad. The passing game under Nick Caley tried a bunch of stuff, but like when you look at all their like tendencies, it's all things that offensive coordinators do when they have to because the offensive line sucks. Max protect, putting an extra lineman on the field. They were second in quick game rate behind Aaron Rodgers, of course. 40% of the time he was outside the pocket. Like they were just constantly trying to find ways and answers to solve what was their biggest flaw, which was the offensive line.
Agree or disagree?
I think that's a little oversimplification, yeah, to be honest with you.
I thought he wasn't great. He wasn't great.
No, there's been a protect CJ at all cost thing at times with national media. Not across the board, but and I don't necessarily blame some of them because that has been the narrative and it was very true the second year. The offensive line was terrible. Last year the protection was a little better. They didn't give up the games inside that they had the year before with the stunts and twists and things like that. It was much better against that. That one I think was some of it was on Caley. Some of it was on CJ. Some of it was on offensive line. I think it was more spread out. This idea that the offensive line was so bad that the offense couldn't function, that's just – I think that narrative is a little spoiled. I think it's carryover from the year before. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple. It's really
not. It was much better than the year before.
Yeah.
Much better.
It wasn't good.
They couldn't pick up simple
It wasn't
stunts.
Good, but it was much better, and they did give more time to throw.
Yeah. They couldn't pick up simple stunts the 2 years ago. So this is better. Did you see the Texans' depth chart?
No. Where was I supposed to see it?
So it's on the Texans' site.
Website? Yeah, that's notoriously.
Well, I don't know. I think it's pretty accurate, actually.
Okay.
But it's interesting. Well, they've got Xavier Hutchinson ahead of Jalen Noel, and Tank Dell is behind Jaden Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
There's no surprises. Dalton Schultz, Foster Moreau is second, Cade Stover, Brevin Jordan, who is dealing with an injury, by the way, and then Marlon Klein is fifth. Marlon Klein seems to be catching touchdown passes every day at practice.
Well, D'Amico Ryan's had some very positive things to say about Marlon Klein.
No, Marlon's been good. Ariante, Wyatt Teller, Kalen Rutledge at center, Ed Ingram, and then it says at right tackle, Trent Brown or Braden Smith. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Trent Brown or Braden Smith.
Well, that plays. So the people putting together the depth chart probably aren't getting it from the team, like where the team says, where Nick Cassero says, oh, this is the guy. They're probably listening just like us. And what was said the other day, that they're having a real battle for the position. So, you know, so you put that in. That's rare. I've never heard of that. I've actually never heard of a team saying, this guy or that. Is that it says Braden Smith
says or
Trent Brown?
It says or.
I've never seen that before.
You must not be accustomed to a college football depth chart.
No.
That happens all the time.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they want to promote competition or not give away.
I got you. Yeah, stuff. I don't really look many college. I mean, I look at our lads and they don't do that. Ourlads.com doesn't do this that guy. Of course, it's also not accurate.
And I think this is a coach, this is not kids putting this together. This is a coach's deal.
Well, it wouldn't be
this
kids.
Is approved.
It could be John Harris, too.
I think this is Texans PR. I don't know how much you believe in the validity, but it comes from the website.
It comes, yeah, and I think it comes from the coaches, too.
I'll find out today.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig around.
It's interesting. Woodes is right behind Al Shaair.
Well, I mean, how many linebackers do they have?
They don't have any left. Maypew is right behind Toa. Tremont Smith right behind Derek Stingley, which is bothersome for me. Colin Wright apparently has been really, really good out there and making a lot of plays.
From Stanford?
But he's behind them. Kamari Lassiter followed by Jalen Smith. Elijah Huzzy is right behind Jalen Petrie. Kalen Bullock and Kamari Ramsey, Reed Blankenship, Jalen Reed behind him.
Hmm. Because here's how ESPN has it. Huzzy behind Petrie, Jalen Smith behind Lassiter, Tremont Smith behind Stingley, then Jamarcus Ingram third, and then Colin Wright fourth. But you're saying it's the other way? It's Colin Wright third?
Third.
Which would still not have him on the team.
Colin Wright. Yeah, Colin Wright is probably...
My guess is these guys... Well, okay. My guess is they're going to carry six corners.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And because and teams, they'll play teams.
I'm going to look at the NFL. To start last year, to start the season last year, the Houston Texans, hold on, this site is just so bad. To start the season last year, I'll go to the archives, and we'll go to 10-1, right? That's 10-1 is better than 9-1. So 10-1 last year, October 1st, it looked like this. They were carrying, hold on a second, they were carrying two quarterbacks as expected. They were carrying, all right, I'll have to get it in a second. I'm having a real problem with this.
All right, we'll take a break because we're up against it here, and then we'll look at that. But we've also got some other stuff to look at, some interesting quotes from yesterday, too, from the team. We will do that on the other side as well, but right now we're talking about Coors Light. We're talking about having a big day. So it's a golf day, as far as I know, for everybody, right? Is today National Golf Day? I'm pretty sure it is. So get on out there, and when you're out there, make sure that you get those Blue Mountains working, okay? It doesn't matter what time you're playing. You got a morning tee time? Let's go. I mean, you can't drink Coors Light all day unless you start in the morning. That's the way I look at it. I look at it like I don't feel like it's a great day. If I'm playing golf or poker or whatever, and I don't have a couple of Coors Lights, then what's the sense? What are we doing? What are we doing if we're not going to have a couple cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights? You know, it's hot out there. Why wouldn't we want to be as refreshed as we possibly could be? Why would we not want to be chill? Because that's what Coors Light does. You can see it in the can or the bottle. You can see the Blue Mountains. Then you know. Your beer isn't as smart. If it doesn't tell you it's cold, it just isn't as smart as my beer. So you're looking for the best way to stay refreshed. Make sure that you got them on hand for your boys when they come over. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
If you miss John and Lance, you missed this.
I don't have $25 million in the bank.
I do the show with the poor.
Yeah, I've got $25 in there some weeks.
I was overdrafted last month.
Weekday mornings from 7 to 10. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, did you find what you were looking for?
I got some clarity on this. The depth chart for the Texans website is not coming from Football Ops. So it's not somebody on the football side. Team side, the actual performance side, putting that together, but it doesn't mean it's inaccurate. It just means that they are not the ones doing that, but the people doing it are out at practices. The people doing it probably can ask someone who they want in a particular place.
Yeah,
I would imagine. So, and I think because the Texans just the other day said it's Braden Smith or Trent Brown, the depth chart reflects it. That's what was said. That's what you put in there. So I was studying this. Like, the Texans, there is no pattern to how they build to how they handle their roster, their depth chart. There's no, I mean, it is completely different, and it's based on injury. So what you have on 10-1, October 1st looked way different than what you had on November 1st. And that's because of, and there were, here's something I didn't realize. Graham Mertz was on the roster the entire year. He was on the roster. They carried three quarterbacks the entire year. Now, I get it when CJ had the, you know, the concussion or whatever. But I'll be surprised. I mean, I don't know. I'll be surprised if they carry three quarterbacks. From a wide receiver standpoint, they carried six the whole year. So they were six. They're a six wide receiver team. Now, I say that, but they also had major issues at tight end, right? From a health standpoint, they had to bring in Harrison Bryant. Typically, and here's the guy, Brendan Bates. I don't even remember Brendan Bates. So my guess is they like to carry, if they're going to carry four tight ends, John, we talked about potentially four tight ends. You could do that by getting rid of your fourth running back or British Brooks. They're carrying four running backs and a fullback. So they carried Woody Marks, Nick Chubb, Dari Ogunbowale, Damian Pierce, and British Brooks last year. I cannot see them keeping five running backs. I can't see it. It's got to go down to four. You take it down to four, then you can have, you know, because at tackle last year at, and this is, once again, this is October 1st, they only carried three tackles at that point. But Trent Brown, you may remember, was not on the roster. He was on the PUP list. Or whatever list it was, either designated to return, but they, and then after he got back, they carried four tackles the entire year. So it looks like they will carry full backup slate from guard to guard. They're going to carry, you know, I think they'll carry 10 offensive linemen. My guess is four running backs, six wide receivers. So Lewis Bond could make the team. But I don't know, man. If you're going to carry, if you want to go four tight ends, you're going to have to carry two quarterbacks instead of three. Are they worried that if they put Graham Mertz on the practice squad, he'll get taken? That's what they're. That's how they're operating.
Yeah. I don't, well, that,
is somebody going to steal Graham Mertz away from you? Is that
know.
A thing?
It'd be okay. I'm not going to be too.
I mean, you know, they carried. To start the year, they carried five defensive tackles and five defensive ends, six linebackers. This is pretty constant with the Houston Texans. They carry six linebackers with D'Amico Ryans there, and that's such a big special teams position. You can understand it. They got some work to get to six. They need some healthy linebackers, and they got some work to get to six quality linebackers from a special team standpoint. Last year, they had Jake Hansen and Jamal Hill at one point as linebackers five and six, and those are both special teams guys if they were both active. And remember, they had Christian Harris and EJ Speed as backups last year.
So apparently Colin Wright had another interception this morning of CJ.
This morning already?
I don't know. Well, was this, I mean, I'm, let's see. Oh, no. That was yesterday. And it's everybody is just saying, this guy's got to make the team. He has got to make the team. He is not going to be on the practice squad. Somebody will grab him because he's had himself quite the camp. Yeah, yesterday he had another pick. It'll be okay. So the running backs will be, you know, obvious: David Montgomery, Woody, Jawar Jordan, and the fourth running back will be. I don't know. We'll see. Well, that's probably a battle. Let's see. What else? What else we got? Oh, so Warren Sharp put this out. Mm-hmm. You tell me. Texans projected 2026, 9.5 wins. Last year, they played the third toughest schedule in 2025, and they won 12 games. Played the third toughest run defenses in 25. Get the biggest decrease in difficult of run defenses year over year. So they played the third toughest run defense this year. It'll be much easier to run the football. And they look like they're better blocking for the run, and they look like they're better at running back than they were last year. They were the fifth most injured offense in 2025. And this year they have the sixth best net rest edge They only have one game where the other team has a rest advantage. That's Pittsburgh in week 13. That's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal that they have a rest edge, a nice rest edge, and only one game where the opposing team has more rest than they do.
Mm-hmm. That's something I never have looked at, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, that's that, Warren Sharp looks at that all the time. There are big advantages and disadvantages in rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting stat. Last year they played all the AFC West teams. This season they played just the Chargers. Last year they just played the Ravens. This year they got all of the AFC North. Tougher to play the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders, or tougher to play the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers?
Which is this year's?
Yes.
Well, you got the Ravens when they were, I don't want to say, you know, you certainly weren't even a layup at that point.
No, they were down last year. But and they've got Lamar this year.
They were really down. And, you got the Chiefs when they were down. You had the Chargers when they had no offensive tackles.
Well, they still had Pat Mahomes.
They had Mahomes. They did not have Rashee Rice. They did not have.
Yeah, they did. Jalen Petrie knocked his ass out.
Was that Rashee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I know they had. I don't think they had. Well, they had a first-time starter at left tackle. He had never started in an NFL game because
that's true. Yep.
Simmons
they
had, was.
They were banged up on the line.
Missing. Yeah, they were really banged up on the offensive line, and they weren't a good team last year. Hmm. You caught them down. You caught the Ravens down. You caught the Chargers with both offensive tackles out. So, but this year Browns aren't going to be good. Steelers, I don't think, are going to be that good.
No. But you got the Steelers in the cold in week 13. That'll be interesting.
Oh, it's just be a
so
lower
last
scoring
year
win.
You had last
they'll just
year,
be a lower scoring 19-6 win.
Last year you had the Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers, which is probably the toughest division in football. This year you got the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and Reds and Commanders.
So losing Laremy Tunsil is a big blow to the Washington Commanders.
Yes.
I mean, that's big. Philadelphia could be tough. Dallas could be tough. Giants won't be a layup, I don't think. I think they'll be competitive. You know, I don't think it will be as tough as Seattle. The Rams, we're just Seattle and the Rams are heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 49ers, although you got Mac Jones there, who actually was better than Brock Purdy at one point. I think you played Mac Jones, if I remember correctly. And then, I don't know. I think this year should be a little easier, potentially.
Yeah, that's
maybe similar.
Those four are easier. Give me those four any day against the other four. Against the NFC West.
Yeah,
the NFC West.
I'm not
NFC
sure
West is
Dallas.
The best division in football.
Yeah, they were.
No. And then you had the Bills last year. You got the Bills this year. You got the Packers this year. In January. That's not going to be easy. You had the Bucs last year at home, and you lost to them because of Henry Toa. So that's your schedule is probably a little bit easier than it was. A little bit easier than it was last year. So, and you won 12 games last year. You started 0-3, and you won 12 games.
Yeah, that's an incredible run. I mean, that's an incredible run. I think 9.5 wins is too low. I think Vegas is too low, and I'm not being a homer. I legitimately think when your defense is that good and your offense, if it just improves a little bit, you know, if you average two more points a game, I don't see how you don't get to 12. You don't get to 10 wins or 11 wins. I don't know. The Colts are the wild card. The Colts are the real wild card team. That kind of turned your whole season around. When you took on the Colts and Daniel Jones – had hurt himself the week before, was playing with an injured leg, and then he got hurt. It was in the Texans game where he was out for the year, right?
Yeah,
that was where he got. It was out for the year. You caught a crippled Daniel Jones. That was a big benefit for the Texans. They go on to win that game, and they just cruised the rest of the year. That was a big turning point for them. Colts may be a tricky team this year. Jaguars have some talent. I think the Texans have a more talented roster. And once again, I'm not in on Trevor Lawrence. So we'll see. The Texans
most talented
to me are still
roster. Did you see Bleacher Report?
I don't care about Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report has the Texans as the number one stacked
roster. No, Bleacher Report's good. Yeah, no, actually, I was kidding. I like Bleacher Report a lot.
Bleacher Report has the Texans as the number one stacked roster.
Yeah, they're a really good website, Bleacher Report.
With the Rams second.
Rams second.
Rams second, okay. Texans first. First, stacked.
Rams did lose a couple. They did get better at cornerback, better at pass rush. Yeah, Rams pretty good too. Yeah, doesn't matter.
They made the NFC championship game, that's all.
Rams are the best in the NFC, Texans best in the AFC.
Yep.
Texans were, I told you, I got to see another team's board of who they believed had the best rosters, and the Texans were in the top three in the league, so that's not a surprise.
No.
And Nick deserves credit. Nick and D'Amico deserve credit for that. That's Nick's job is to put together a good roster.
And he did.
And it's considered a really good roster.
Thank you. Most stacked in the NFL.
So that's Rafael Stone's job. That's Dana Brown's job. Never lose sight of the fact that it's their job to put together the best roster. And when you look at it, two teams have put together good rosters, and then there's the Astros.
I need you to make it up to Billy for your lackadaisical.
I didn't do anything. I came back and told people how great he was, and I mean that.
Yeah, but while we were doing the actual commercial,
I was on the phone with Aqueduct Plumbing Company, dummy. I was on the phone with them.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
I was on the phone with them saying, hey, guys, I got a real problem, and it just turns out the water was shut down in my neighborhood. That actually happened for 7 hours yesterday. So that was a thing that caused a little stress and a little bit of panic. But sometimes the stress and panic is caused by the fact that water running at the, you've got very bad water flow in your home, and you've got to find out what's going on there. Sometimes it could be as easy at a faucet as just cleaning out the filter. It could be something really, really simple. But Billy and his guys will come out and they'll check it out for you. They handle major issues. They handle more minor issues. They handle things that you don't know what you're doing. So they'll come in there and they'll do it for you. They've got multiple trucks ready to service the entire greater Houston area. If you can hear us, they can get to you and work on your project. But it can be something as small as a leaking faucet. It can be something as major as a leaky pipes beneath your house, where they can tunnel in and change out all of those pipes for you so that you don't have the foundation issues that it can cause. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is awesome, and they don't charge you a single penny to come out and diagnose the issue. Give them a call today. Let a company that's transparent and that does great work at great prices handle your plumbing needs. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Some news and notes from around the league. Luther Burden looks like he's going to miss about a month. They're hoping he's ready for week one. We'll see. Cam Scadabo had limped off the practice field after a collision with a teammate. But Coach Harbaugh says he's okay. Mekhi Lemon misses fourth straight practice. Malik Nabers trending towards being ready for week one. We'll see. Deshaun Watson feels more likely to be QB1.
We'll see. It's weird. It's not supposedly in camp. It doesn't really look like that. The reps look like that. Play doesn't. Deshaun's been bad in camp. But I think there's a lot of pressure with that amount of money just to play him. And if he sucks, oh, well. Is that a bad thing for them? Mm-hmm. They've been stocking up on draft picks. They're not in on Shador. I mean, he was a fifth-round pick. I'm just telling you. They are looking. They're going to be looking at quarterback, and this is a quarterback year. So I don't know that they're in a big rush to win a bunch of games. And who's better to line you up at the line of scrimmage than Deshaun Watson, the influencer? You've literally got an influencer at quarterback. At one point, he was a quarterback. Now he's more influencer.
apparently Isaiah Pacheco has a sprained MCL, and Dan Campbell said, we are going to really push Jameer. I just feel like he's...
Yeah, they plan on using him a lot for that money that they're paying him. They're like, they're using him a lot.
He's 1-1 in fantasy. 1-1.
Could be.
Yeah. He or Bijan, we'll see. We'll see. And then Jamar says, I need 23 touchdowns this year. That's all I care about.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, I need 23 this year. Okay. I need to beat the record.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm glad he's such a team guy. I need 23 touchdowns. I don't care about all the other stuff.
Well, let him get his 23 then. What are you
hating
for?
Get your 23. Be the best. Get your 23 as long as I take you. As long as you're there when I'm picking. All right? Get your 23, Jamar. 713-780-3776. Sheldon Rankins had an interesting quote at practice yesterday. Sheldon, first of all, he said Jadeveon is a highlight reel waiting to happen. You can tell in the meeting rooms he's got a lot to offer. He's good with the veterans and the older guys. And D'Amico actually, he came out and was very effusive in his praise.
He was, but at first it was a little different. Did you see what he said? He was asking us, he's still taking a while to get used to the way we do things. It was his first sentence about D'Amico Ryan, about Jadeveon Clowney. And then he talked about him being, you know, doing a great job rushing one-on-ones during a team period. Yeah. But he just said, I didn't know what that meant, that he's still acclimating to the way the Texans do things. I thought that was a curious comment. I didn't know what that meant.
Maybe he's just not like Will Anderson Jr. Here is Sheldon Rankins.
Nobody's like Will Anderson Jr.
Nobody is. Nobody is. And that's tough on everybody else, isn't it?
Well, the standard's the standard.
Why aren't you more like Will? I mean, it's like my mother with my brother.
Why can't you be more like Craig?
Greg. Not Craig.
We called him Craig back in the day.
His name's Greg. Why can't you be more like him? Because I don't want to be boring and look like a monkey. Okay? So that's why I'm not going to be more.
What? Look like a monkey?
Yeah, you haven't heard this before?
No.
He mentioned a couple times his brother looks like a monkey.
He thinks his brother looks like a monkey?
Yeah, I keep saying that. He doesn't love it. But he...
What does he think you look like?
That's what my mom said. Look at, he was ugly. He was an ugly baby, how ugly he was. He looked like a monkey, didn't he? Yep.
You say that to your mom?
No, my mom said that to us.
Your mom said that about him?
Oh, yeah.
Girl, stop.
Yeah. Anyway, here is Sheldon Rankins talking about Will Anderson Jr.
I think the turning point for players of his caliber is like when they realize that when they want to take it over, they can take it over. I think he's getting to that point where, you know, he realizes if he wants to shut practice down, he can shut it down. Like, if he don't want them to get a playoff, they won't get a playoff. He don't want them to get a pass off, they won't get a pass off. He want a TFL every play, he can go do it. So I think he's starting to get to that point where he finally realizes that, like, man, like, the game is in the palm of my hands. And he also understands the responsibility that comes with it. I think that's what makes him so special. Is that, you know, you get a lot of guys in that position of being that dominant, being that good, and, you know, they kind of look at it like, you know, it was supposed to happen to them. Whereas he looks at it as, you know, he's grateful for every chance he gets to be the player that he is. So, I think he's starting to realize the power that he has, you know, that his hands, feet, helmet, all that, all the above. And he's letting it be known every day.
You know, he's by all the reports out of camp, I mean, the defensive line is just dominating and can dominate and can. And D'Amico said it too. He's like, I just got to tell Will. And I saw where CJ, the pass yesterday that went, you know, a lot of people were seeing in team, Marlon Klein catches one over the middle. Will Anderson is going up against, looked like Braden Smith. And he could have just kind of stopped and let CJ throw it. He could have just waylaid CJ if he wanted to.
Oh, man. I hope it's too bad he didn't. really would have made a point there waylaying our quarterback.
No.
Well, what kind of business would that be?
No, but he could have disrupted. He could have. Yeah, I don't know how you block him one-on-one this year. And then you got Danielle Hunter on the other side. You got
Clowney. Who might be the better pure rusher.
Yeah.
In terms of moves and whatnot.
And Rankins is doing a nice job, apparently. That is something. If McDonald, I saw this too, if McDonald can be in on early downs and given Sheldon Rankins some rest, Sheldon Rankins might be disruptive up the middle on passing downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Clowney will play inside some there too, right?
I don't know how they play him. I don't know. I'm not sure how they use him. I don't think he's rushed much from the inside during his career. He may just choose not to do it.
Well, I mean,
he may just say that's not my thing.
This is a new Clowney. He does whatever you say.
Does he?
The coaches tell him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
He's all in to win the chip, Lance.
That's it.
He said he was going to go somewhere where he could win a title.
And that's where he is. That's exactly where he is. The number one roster in the NFL.
How do they get to there? Like, I get the defense. I understand why you would put the defense as the best offensive roster.
Have you seen
in football.
This offensive line yet, or no?
Well, you get Nico, but yeah.
Have to do that thing again where I explain good linemen generally don't make the market? And the
do
Texans
I have to explain
were able
to you
to,
what a great job
and
our
Wyatt Teller is
did.
Using. Look, I really didn't care about football that much. That's why I wasn't good last year. Oh, that's comforting. You stopped caring about football.
Yeah. Yeah.
An offensive lineman. This, like, people are like, yeah, we got these guys who are physical and they're not about the Gucci. You got an offensive lineman admitting, I stopped caring.
No, he didn't mean it like that.
That's what he said.
He stopped caring about playing for the Browns.
Ah.
The Browns too. Make people stop caring. Got Joel it. Bitonio
everybody
retired.
Everybody stops caring.
Joe Thomas didn't stop caring.
Joel Bitonio retired.
Joe Thomas never stopped
no,
caring.
No, Joe Thomas is built different.
So
Bitonio,
why?
They made Bitonio retire.
Wow.
They made
and
Wyatt,
they made Wyatt Teller
stop
quit
caring.
On football?
A big corn-fed guy never quits on football. That's how bad the
wow.
Cleveland
Maybe
situation
he's not
is.
Made of the same stuff you think he is.
They made him quit.
Football.
Miles Garrett quit on his
Cleveland
team.
Made him quit. They made Deshaun Watson quit.
The guy who led the now has the season the single season sack record quit on his team?
Yeah, he quit on the team.
Mm.
As soon as he got that record, he was done.
I mean, the last game of the season? Or
yeah.
Second to last, whenever it was?
I felt like he kept playing.
I felt like, yeah.
For
I felt like
selfish
he kept
reasons,
playing.
Just
yeah,
sacks.
To go get his
if he
numbers.
Was a real one, a team guy, he
sacks.
Wouldn't try to get a bunch of sacks.
he would make plays for others.
They made Deshaun Watson stop playing hard. They made him quit.
No, Deshaun quit when he was here. You remember that where he decided he didn't want to play football right. For the Texans anymore?
Deshaun quit in 21.
So we've got Deshaun who quit on the Texans and the Browns got him and that's worked out swimmingly.
Uh-huh.
Now we've Can got be Wyatt Teller who quit on the Browns.
Right.
And
now
it's going to work out great.
Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see.
It is
It's
it is
different
curious.
Quitting on the Browns than it is quitting on the Texans.
Now, is it really?
It is curious,
back then, was it?
I mean, you have
that era of Texas football.
Who are your top four offensive?
He didn't
offensive.
Say he quit. He said he wasn't inspired.
Who are your top four offensive players?
Oh, you
John?
Told me yesterday
My
that
top four
Caleb,
offensive
your top
players,
four offensive players for the Texans.
For the Texans?
If we're doing this whole roster thing, who's 1, 2, 3, and 4?
My top four offensive players for the Texans are Nico's one.
Yep. Watch how this game turns on you.
Wow.
In Dell's favor.
You're already making the noises. Wow.
I know. It took one.
Well.
It took one.
I'm going to have a surprise. Number two.
You're going to say Dalton
Schultz. Kalen Rutledge?
Nope. Kalen Rutledge.
I told you.
You said guys never played.
You said yesterday he might have been already the best offensive lineman on the team.
That's scary.
Yeah. Is that not concerning?
Number three is
so we had to go to somebody who hasn't played pro football too.
At the position okay. He hasn't played the position he's going to play ever.
Okay, go ahead, John. Keep telling me about this offensive roster.
Number three,
David Montgomery's ahead of Keelan Murray.
Yeah, come on.
CJ's three.
David. No,
and
that's
Schultz
not fair.
Four.
That's not fair. It's David Montgomery 2, Schultz 3, Keelan 4, Arianti 5.
Oh.
Tank 6.
Oh, where's
Tank?
CJ?
Braden's, I'm getting there. Hold on. Woody Marks 8. Stover 9. Klein 10. CJ. So what's the problem? No, I kid. You CJ Holics. I'm just joking.
Relax. He's just kidding.
CJ probably be like 3 for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3.
I put David Montgomery 2, and I put Schultz 4.
You got Montgomery
but if
two?
That's your. Yeah. Dave Montgomery's a real dude.
The best.
But know, this is the problem. These are your guys. Once you get past one, it's like, it is a little strange to think the Texans are one. That's how loaded they are on defense, I guess.
I would agree with the defense, but the best roster in football has one.
I think one offensive Pro Bowler
from last year.
You know, you're right. I think the history of Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith are doing a lot of heavy lifting on this.
Names we've heard of, names we know have done a good job before.
Yeah, and they're not the same guys or their teams. But I think it's doing a lot of heavy lifting because as soon as I just told John to make four, real quick it turned into...
Well, they're so good and so close. Yeah. Well, let's do the defense on the other side, but first talk about Doc Kaplan.
That's easy. Doc Kaplan is going to clear. Doc Kaplan is like an offensive lineman in a run game, right? A real hardcore downhill run game. Clears everything out. Bang. Sinuses. Clear. Sinus cavity. Clear. You go in there. You set up your appointment today at KaplanSinusRelief.com. When you get in there, they will do a scan of your head. And then they can go in and take a look at all parts of the sinus cavity to find out what's going on. Now, I'm talking, it's an ENT office. So they do ear, nose, and throat. If you've got ear issues, a ringing in your ear, if you've got throat problems, a lot of times they're all tied together. You may have two of those things going on. But that's Dr. Kaplan's office is going to handle it. Dr. Kaplan specializes in the sinus. And so that's why I want to talk about Dr. Kaplan, because he has balloon sinuplasty. He is one of the pioneers. And what they do is, they go in, you're under, you're sedated, they go in, they inflate these balloons, they can tell you how they do it. It clears out the entire sinus cavity. Things that are hard to get to, boom, it clears out. Takes you a couple days to recover. I was at the World Cup the very next day. I had it done on a Friday, and I had deviated septum as well, which is a much tougher procedure. I had them both done, but I'm a warrior. I made it to the World Cup game the next I was back at work on Monday. I didn't miss a single day of work. Same thing's going to be true with you. And the results you are going to get are going to be fantastic. I cannot believe I suffered through all that for as long as I did because it just became my norm. Don't make it your norm. Go to KaplanSinusRelief.com. Do it today.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Welcome to Huntington Bay.